everybody, and welcome to episode 366 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Huznez, and today I'm going to be talking about one game, and one game only. Why? Because I think this game deserves its own episode. And that game is... Dun, 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 dun. Why am I doing Jaws? I don't know. It is Tumbleseed, which is releasing today, May 2nd, on the Nintendo Switch, which is what I played it on, PS4, and PC. Now, one of the things I love about this game is that the developer doesn't actually have a name, as far as I can tell. They just use their own name. So, Tumbleseed does not come to you from a studio with a name. It just comes to you from Benedict, Joel, Greg, Jenna, and David. Another little cool thing about it, from a personal standpoint for me, is that I think, I could be wrong, but I think this game came out from, I don't know if they've had more than one, but the Cards Against Humanity game jam thing they did. So I'm thinking maybe these are all local developers too, which is cool if these are Chicago developers making a cool ass game. And I'm from Chicago, so I just get to be like, hey, I live where these people live. I didn't do anything cool, but they did. So Tumbleseed was, I think, highlighted first and foremost. It might have been in some, you know, gotten some coverage before, but I think it got a lot more attention when it was highlighted in the Nindies little Nintendo Direct that they had a month or two, no, probably just a month ago, when they showed off a bunch of indie games, and Tumbleseed was one of them. And it was this rolling game, this thing where you were lifting this little ball up, and it was called a roguelike. It's like a roly roguelike. That's its little tagline. And it was like, huh, I love roguelikes. This looks really pretty. It's very different in terms of gameplay, just from the look of it. Compared to other roguelikes, I'm kind of into this. So I was excited about it from the get-go, and especially looking at how much there is on the Switch, even though it is on PS4 and PC, I think on the Switch it was just like, well, there's not that much that's going to be available, so having something, anything, is going to be welcome, but if it's a really good game, that's even better. So I was excited about it, especially after getting my Switch to play it, and I got a code, so I was able to play it for about a week prior to the launch, and I really, really, really like Tumbleseed. It's definitely a roguelike with its procedurally generated areas, so it's you're playing as this little, I think you're a seed, Tumbleseed, of course, and you are going up this mountain with, there are five different areas, and each area is filled with these various types of creatures that have been corrupted by, I don't know if it's when the sun was blotted out or something and then this darkness came, but you get a little bit of it in tutorial. The story is not that important, so you don't have to concern yourself with that, but I will say there is some great, awful pun work, which I love as a fan of puns. So if you enjoy puns, you can look forward to that. But you're just working your way up this mountain, I'm assuming, to save the village and save all these creatures. And probably if you make it up the mountain, which I haven't yet to do, they'll all be happy. And then they'll be like, oh, wait, never mind. Because, you know, you're going to want to go up the mountain again to get a better score or whatever, just to do it again, because it's fun. But it is a roguelike in that the levels, the areas are procedurally generated. When you die, you start all the way from the beginning. When you lose all your lives, that is. When you die during a playthrough, if you've placed a certain seed and planted yourself in an area, you can do checkpoints, which I'll get to that in a little bit. But you die, you start all the way from the beginning. And there are daily challenges, which is nice. Didn't even know those were in it. Then there are certain like time attack things and other little game-ish modes, within the actual game itself, if that's making sense. Just like when you're playing through and you get between areas, there are like these little rest areas that are like towns, and they'll have things like a little shop where you can get a specific upgrade, because there are 30 different powers that you can use, and I'll get to those. But then there are also things like, oh, you can take this game or whatever, where you go through this area to collect things where you can lose stuff, but you know, you can gain a lot of these little crystal things as well. But it is also a roguelike in that it is very challenging and it can be very frustrating, but I find it frustrating in the most wonderful ways. So the way the gameplay works is that you have this seed that is balanced on this long, just assume it's a stick that you were controlling with the two analog sticks. So you press up on left one, it moves that side up, and you know, vice versa. And you're tilting your little seed with that gameplay mechanic and moving it upwards as well. So you are, while doing this, trying to avoid the various creatures that are, some are out to get you, or some are just minding their own business, and if you get in their way and hit them, collide with them, you will take damage. There are also holes all over the place that you want to avoid. So it's almost sort of like, you know, one of those old tilting mazes, except for this doesn't have the walls to help you keep within a certain place. And there are, of course, creatures all over here, some that really want to kill you. But you do have some things to help you out, in addition to just, you know, navigating and trying to avoid all these things. There are various powers that you can get. You have some by default, a heart power, a crystal power, a basically checkpoint power, and then a thorn vine thing power. So some of the powers are offensive, some of them are more defensive, and then some of them are just sort of like, well, whatever, you put in the miscellaneous. So the heart power is, if you, and first let me just say the crystal power. So there are crystals that you can find on the area, in the areas, in the worlds. And those are what you use in order to plant your various powers, your seeds, essentially. You as a seed, you plant yourself when you have a certain power selected in these various plots that are also within each level. And you then use those powers. You gain those powers. So if it's the thorn ability, you then gain one thorn that spins around you and will attack enemies if they get too close, depending on the rotation of the thorn. And you have this crystal power, which once you've planted yourself three times with that, two crystals will pop up, which will allow you to plant yourself as other powers, because all of the powers require crystals in order, just a single crystal. I don't think there are any that use more than just one crystal to actually use it and to actually plant yourself, except the crystal power, because of course that's what you use to gain more crystals, because while there are some crystals scattered across all of the levels, there aren't that many, especially if you want to use a lot of your powers. So that's probably the power I use the most, just to keep a stockpile, and also when I don't need anything else. If I'm going to hit a plant, I don't want to waste crystals either. So that's a good thing to just, you know, keep that one as my default. And then you have your other big one, which is your checkpoint power, basically, where you plant yourself in a plot, and then if you get, not if you get hit, because if you get hit, you just kind of like get knocked back, lose a life. But if you fall into a hole and you did not plant yourself as a checkpoint anywhere in the area, you will start all the way from the bottom. So those are really important. That's a very important power to use, and I'm really bad at it. I always forget to do it. And so many times I've lost all my progress, and then my scores are just like god-awful because I've never checkpointed at all during a level. So that's an important one to use. Then, of course, the heart one is you plant yourself four times and then you gain a heart. You start off with three hearts. I've never tried to go past three hearts, but yeah, if you get down to one heart, it's probably a good idea to focus on that power. And then there are various other ones. I think there are over 30. One, I basically had like a knight helmet and had this rotating ball spinning around me, but it didn't last forever, which was disappointing. Then there are ones that will flood an area and cover up all the holes, so it makes it much easier to navigate, which is really nice. That's more of, I wouldn't call that a defense, that would be like a miscellaneous power. It's not really defensive, it's not offensive, it's just sort of something else that is a term I can't think of. But yeah, there are a lot of different powers, there are a lot of different creatures, and to me, like I said, it's a roguelike, so if you don't like frustrating games, it's probably not something that's for you, because you will die a lot, you'll have to start over a lot, but the time that you lose if you have a bad run isn't great, so I don't really have a problem with that, and I don't think most people should have a problem with it, because, you know, you die, you screw up or whatever, you start up again in a few minutes. Not saying you have to wait a few minutes to load, but, you know, you have a run that lasts a few minutes, then you go on another one, and then another one, you know. It's a nice, quick game that you can play in between longer sessions with other games, and I really like that. I played it when I was out on the road, too, and that was really nice. The only problem with that was like, oh, man, what if I get a really good run? I don't have an internet connection. No one will ever know. No one will ever believe me, because all my daily runs have been garbage right now, and I just look like a piece of poop on the daily challenges. But I really, really like it. And I think, you know, if you have a PS4 or a PC, you don't have a Switch, yeah, I would still recommend it. But I think for any Switch owner, not just because there isn't that much out there, it's a game every Switch owner should own, especially if you're someone who really uses the Switch often as a handheld portable device. It's $15. I never mentioned that, so it's, you know, not horribly priced at all. I think it's well worth it. But it is such a great game for playing in small doses. You know, you play for 15, 30 minutes and you can get in, you know, depending on how well your runs go, you can get in one really, really good run in 15 minutes, or you might get in 3 runs or 5 runs. You know, if you're having a really bad day, maybe you'll get in 15 runs in that 15 minutes. But I adore it, because the thing about it that I like so much is that while I love roguelikes, roguelikes are becoming just like, it's becoming a super saturated genre, in that so many people are making roguelikes, and so many people are making roguelikes that are very, very similar to other ones. Like, Rogue Legacy has become a very popular template for roguelikes. You just have this, you know, procedurally generated dungeon that sort of feels somewhat Castlevania-ish, and you have your various powers that you collect, and you're upgrading your abilities, etc. But Tumbleseed feels fresh. The gameplay is something that I've never experienced before. There might be things that are similar to it on mobile, with tilting the device and stuff like that, but I can't think of anything that feels like Tumbleseed, and that's something I really like. And the thing that's, I think, deceptive about looking at Tumbleseed, if you just look at videos, is that it may look like, and this is what I had in my mind too first, is like, this is going to be, I don't want to say easy, but it's going to be something that I can, you know, you're moving really quickly and all this stuff, but it's not. You really have to be focused. It requires a lot of focus, which I actually really, really appreciated when I realized that. When I realized, you know, I can't just move up this mountain at breakneck speeds. I have to take my time, look, and like just adjust my bar slightly so that I can move ever so slightly to the left or right, and then move both of them at the same time so I can go up and not tilt to any side and end up falling into a hole or anything like that. And it just, it feels fresh. It feels unique. And in that sense, it feels special. And it's not often that games feel special these days, because especially when it's taking on a genre that, like I said, so many games are toying with now. It's in like the same way that more and more games are messing around with the Dark Souls, Demon Souls template. Roguelikes are just popping up everywhere. But despite all that, Tumbleseed feels fresh. It feels unique. And that is because it is fresh and unique. And I really like that. It's a beautiful game. It looks sort of Patapon-esque. except it's very, very colorful. It's a very, very beautiful game to just enjoy while playing it. There's a lot of wonderful creature design to it all. I think, like, it is just perfect on the Switch screen, too. It looks gorgeous on there. I tried it on the TV. That's fine. But, like, it just feels so perfect and at home on the Switch. It is... It's my favorite game on the Switch that I own. And it's like, yeah, well, I don't own much, and there isn't that much on the Switch yet, but it is one of my favorite games of the year so far. It may end up being one of my favorite games when all is said and done of the year. I don't want to say of all time. But it is just an absolute joy, as frustrating as it can be, because it's frustrating in the best ways. You know, the times when I have bad runs in the game, it's because of me. So, you know, it's a game where you're not only playing the game, but you have to play yourself. You have to keep yourself calm, because if you get too frustrated and just, like, die in a stupid way, and then you're like, oh, God, I lost all this progress, I'm just going to rush up the hill, then you're going to die quick again and again, and then your run's going to be over. You might have had a really good run, done something stupid, and let that get to you, and then just thrown it all away because you just couldn't calm down and collect yourself. Or maybe that's just me, and I need to learn how to just calm myself and say, like, okay, just cool it. But yeah, and the one enemies that drive me nuts the most, and they drive me nuts in the most wonderful ways. I love them, but I hate them. There are certain enemies that will chase you, and they don't chase you really quickly. It's not like they're running at you like a sprint or anything. They're moving soft and slowly. It's almost like it follows. You know they're coming at you, but they're only doing it one step at a time. But you know they're coming at you. And even if you get far up the mountain, if you just took a break and rested at a wall, they would eventually make their way up to you. Depending on, like, some of the enemies are flying ones. There's this sort of wormish, tremorish thing that really... I hate that thing so much, but I love it. But that adds this whole other level of tension upon a game that can already be tense in just your requirement of precision and your movements and avoiding all these holes and the other enemies, the other creatures that inhabit a level. When you have this thing that is chasing you, and you know, like, okay, as long as I just make a little bit of progress, it's not going to get up to me, but I have to make progress. I can't take a break, because if I do, even if it's only for a moment, it's going to get me. And I love that. I love the game so much, and I'm so happy it didn't disappoint me, because I've been in this, like, funk with games, and it's stuff like this. This is the kind of game that I need now, and I need more of this, because as great as Summer Seed is, it's not going to, you know, save me from this funk, just this one game alone, but it's definitely pushing me in the right direction, back in the good direction. But like I said, I think it's a game every Switch owner should own, because one, how many other games do you have to play besides, you know, just rebuying whatever Wii U games and a few other indie games? It's $15, which is a great price, a really, really good price, because you'll be playing it a lot if you get into it, and the daily challenge is nice. And there are other things, like I said, within the actual playthrough in the levels. There are little secrets to find. I found some things that I don't know if there's secrets or not, but I'm not going to mention them, just because finding them and seeing all these weird things is part of the joy of it, and seeing them fresh without being spoiled on them. And given that the game is releasing today, it just came out today, I don't want to talk about any of that, but... I can't recommend it highly enough. It's just, you know, a frustrating joy in the best ways possible. And I really, really love it. I'm so happy that, I don't know, I'm happy it exists, because it's different, you know, new, fresh, all that I've already said. And I don't know what else to say. It's just, it's a lot of fun. And I hope it does really well because the game deserves it, and it is a little indie studio that deserves to be rewarded for making such a great little game. And maybe, you know, if the game sells well enough and they make enough money from it, maybe they'll actually be able to afford a name for their studio. Because as nice as their names are, they all have lovely names. They're wonderful names. A single name for a studio would probably be beneficial for future development. Just saying. Good idea. Just a thought. Though, what do I know about names? I title my site Pixelated Sausage. And the thing I get more often than not is either people saying, oh, I really like your name, or like, what the hell does that mean? But nobody knows what I cover or why or any of that stuff. But Tumbleseed, available today on PC, PS4, and the Switch. I played it on the Switch. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. $15. I think there might be some people out there be like, oh man, this would be great on Vita. I think just with everything going on the screen and everything, that it may be, like, if it was on the Vita screen might just be a little bit too small for the game. It would still work and be fine. I just think the size of the screen for the Switch is the perfect size for it in terms of a handheld screen. Because when I went back to the Vita a month or so ago, I was like, oh man, this screen is so much smaller than I remember it being. But you could probably do Vita, what is it, remote play, if you want to do it that way. But if you have a Switch, and there are, what, almost 3 million people with a Switch, you should really get this game, because it's great. And it's something you don't need to invest a long amount of time in any single session. So you can just sit back, enjoy it for 15 to 30 minutes, put it away, come back to it later that day, the next day, whatever. It's a great pick up and play game. It's the perfect type of game to just have on your system to play when you don't have that much time and just want to play something for, you know, a few moments or whatever. It's great for that. And it's something that will always be fresh because of the procedurally generated aspect of it and having these daily challenges and all that. So I dig that. I wish I had more friends on the Switch so that I can compare with them with this game. But can't recommend it highly enough. Definitely, definitely check out Tumbleseed. Yeah, I'll have a link to the site and all that in the post. So anyway, that will do it for today's episode of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Mark Huznes. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, my anime lists, Steam, and all the usual places at PX Sausage. On PSN, I'm the Kush3. On Switch, I am something, 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 something. Why can't they just add me via my Nintendo ID? Who knows? Let's see. What is my number? My Switch friend code is SW-2223-8690-3722. I'm not going to repeat it, but that's on the site if you want to see it. Add me if you want. Stupid friend codes. I can't believe they're still doing that crap. I'm there. The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this podcast, the other podcasts we host, and all that, like Pixelated Radio, which we just recorded Sunday, 2 days ago, and Pixelated Paranormal, which makes me yawn. It's such a boring show. No, it's not. I've never really listened to it, because I'm not really into paranormal stuff. Though I still am open to going on there to just be the curmudgeon who doesn't believe in anything they're talking about. But that's also available. You can find that on the site as well. And in addition to all that, you can see all the art I do. And if you'd like to just see all of it in one big happy place, I was going to say in one big happy family, but that wouldn't make any sense, you can go over to pxsart.com. And if you'd like to support the site in general and just chip in a few bucks every month, you can go over to patreon.com/pxs and support us that way. Also, if you haven't already, it would be greatly appreciated if you went to iTunes and rated, reviewed, and subscribed to the show, because that really does help. They still go by that algorithm or whatever. It's like, oh, you got some recent reviews or subscriptions, blah, blah, blah. We're going to throw you up in the rankings and all that. So do that, even if you're not a huge fan of iTunes. And of course, you can also find the show on Stitcher Radio, Google Play Store, Player FM, SoundCloud, etc., 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 etc. I don't know why I did all those etc. You only need one etc. Every etc. after the first etc. is really just pointless and meaningless. Really. Really, 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 really. I needed all those reallys. For real. For real? Seriously? For you, G, you piece of garbage. Oh, Persona 5, what have you done? Anyway, that will do it for today's show. Have a great rest of your week and a wonderful Tuesday. Please don't pass on Tomo Seed, especially if you have a Switch. You know, I can understand maybe, you know, not picking it up on PS4 or PC, even though I think you'd be wrong to do it. I'd be curious to what it feels like with a keyboard and mouse, unless it only has controller support on PC, which I doubt it would, but I feel like the precision you'd get using a keyboard, that could be, I might pick it up on Steam. Yeah, I might do that. I want to give them some money. I might just buy it on PS4 as well. I'll buy it on all of them. Can I buy you it on there? I can gift it on Steam as well. Yeah, gifting. Gifting is awesome. I really wish freaking Xbox and PlayStation. Nintendo, you're so far behind in so many things. I'm not going to call you out on this. But Sony, Microsoft, let me gift games. It's free money. I would gift so many things. You know how many things I've gifted on Steam? Especially when there's sales. Like, there's a sale going on right now. I think there's something in there that I really like that I would love to give to people, but I can't. Why? Because you won't let me. Why won't you let me? You'd be like, oh, you can just gift them some points. Well, sure, I can gift them points and be like, buy this with them. But you know what? I don't know if they're going to do it or not. Maybe it's bad on me for not trusting my friends to get the game I tell them to with the money. But also at the same time, if I want to gift them a game that's on sale for like $3.29 or something, I don't want to get them a $10 gift card for that. Even though maybe I like my friend enough to spend $3.29 on them, but not $10. What's your problem, Microsoft and Sony? What's wrong with you? Anyway, everyone else, other than Microsoft and Sony, and Nintendo, whatever, have a great weekend, except Microsoft and Sony. I don't know what I'm doing. I just can't quit the show. I can't quit you. What is that from? I don't know how to... Brokeback Mountain. Oh, that's depressing now. Heath Ledger. I'm all sad now. I saw Nightcrawler with the other one from it, Jake Gyllenhaal. That was good. This is a tangent. This is a tangent heaven. Or probably more akin to hell. You're welcome, everyone. You're welcome. Great song from Moana. Moana, pretty good movie. I was surprised by it. The Rock is really good in it. And this song, You're Welcome, was fantastic. It was so good, so catchy. I listened to it like 10 times in a row. I love that song. Another great song from that is the Crab song, whatever it is, who's the one guy from Flight of the Conchords. Not the skinny one, but the more weird looking one. I can't think of his name right now, but he's great. And it's sort of like a Flight of the Conchords song, the one he sings, which is great. Also, he did a movie called People, Places, Things, which is a normal movie, and it's really sweet. And it's just a really sweet movie that you should check out. Okay. I'm going to end it here because I don't know what's going to happen if I don't end it soon. All right. Have a great weekend. And I'll probably talk to y'all again before the weekend. So enjoy May. I'll do a Star Wars episode for May the 4th. Because everyone knows how much I love Star Wars. Okay. Bye.